Hello there folks, it's Cliff again with a quick roundup of your sport, a bit of national stuff and a bit of local, and hopefully we find you well and safe, and look forward to knocking out this little report for you now. So we start off with football, and we couldn't do anything bigger than England, which has not been a good story. They're in the middle of playing various matches to qualify for the cups around, but they had a friendly meeting last night, I think it was at Nottingham Forest ground, against Senegal, and that's an African club that are rated probably in the top 25, I think, of national clubs. However, England went down to a 3-1 defeat, which was the first defeat that Thomas Tuchel, who's the new English manager, well, manager for England, sorry, he's German himself, but that was his fourth game in charge, and he'd lost for the first time there. A very disappointing one, because only a few days before England had beaten Andorra, which is, I think they were rated about 153rd or something like that in the world ones, and we only just beat them. So desperate times, well, not desperate, but struggling times for Tuchel to get his team sorted out and get his team going, and hopefully making some good news for us later on next season. And England at cricket at the same time, the England's women cricket team were easy winners in an international one-day series against West Indies. And they ran out 3-0 winners against West Indies. And at the same time, or similar time, the men's team were also playing the West Indies. And the English men again ran out as 3-0 winners against the West Indies. Clearly, West Indies of both teams have got some rebuilding to do. And again, but good warm-ups for England players on the way, hopefully, to more delights this summer. And rugby union, that's not something we usually cover, but again, I'm happy to try and throw anything in just to see if people are interested at all. But there was a big cup match on Saturday, which was a wonderful match. I watched it on the TV, of course, but it was a very close match. It was Warrington who were playing Hull Kingston Rovers, and Hull Kingston Rovers are not one of those teams in rugby league that have had great many victories, and they've waited decades for they've felt that they had a hoodoo on the club because they've been getting to finals but not winning them. However, this was to change this time, and they converted a last gasp try with only a few minutes left on the clock to win 8-6 they won the final at Wembley against four Hull Kingston Rovers 8-6 in the last few minutes of the game against Warrington, and Warrington were odds on favourites for the cup, of course, but again didn't take their chances early on and paid the penalty. So it's nice to have these things shared around, I think, anyway. It gets a bit boring when the same teams win everything all the time. Switching over to tennis, Bolter Kanu served delight on historic day at Queen's Club. And this is about the two young English girls that we've got now, Emma Raducanu and Katie Bolter. And they walked out onto court one at the Queen's Club for the competition that runs usually for a week or two before Wimbledon starts, so it's obviously not far away now. And they played together for the first time in a doubles match and thoroughly enjoyed it by all accounts. And asked afterwards whether they won and went through to the next round, and asked whether they might be tempted to also give the doubles a whirl at Wimbledon, Raducanu played it straight, saying that we're just going to keep trying to do as best as we can and take it from there. But before she could go on, Bolter interjected and said, "Oh, scrap what she said with a laugh, we're going for the Wimbledon title." So be a great delight for Wimbledon fans if we can see the two leading youngsters in the ladies' tennis playing together in the doubles. So let's hope that that happens. And also on that day, Andy Murray, obviously past champion and a lad who retired quite a while ago now, but he was given an honour at the Queen's Club in West London, where they renamed their centre court the Andy Murray Arena. And he said this tournament, he said, the tournament and this court have many special moments for him as a player. It was where I first won my first match at the ATP Tour, and it was my most successful event. I always love coming back here at the start of a British summer, and I'm very proud of the results I've had and grateful and thankful to whoever decided to name the stadium after me. So that's a nice little bit of history there, isn't it? Back local now stuff. Not a great deal going on at the moment. As Tim and I have just been talking, there's the football's finished, but the drama of the and the interest in new players is beginning to come to a head as we move towards the end of the transfer window. And a big article in the Sentinel the other night from the former Potters coach O'Shea, who he's tipping a midfielder called Boson Lawal. He's been back to kick on like we expect, as he is standing by to make his senior Republic of Ireland debut last night. But unfortunately, I've checked the teams this morning and he wasn't in the first team. Whether he came on as a sub or not, I can't tell you, because the report wasn't that detailed. But he's a 21-year-old who endured a frustrating season at Stoke City last year following his move from Celtic. And he spent the first half of the campaign sidelined with a stress fracture on his lower back and only making his full debut on the final day of term. He played a few substitute appearances in the latter half of the season. But John O'Shea, who was, say, the former Stoke coach who left the club before Lowell's arrival, believes the player's patience will pay off. And he believes he featured in the last four games of the season. And the O'Shea reckons that he's seen him play in other clubs and thinks that he will be a star, hopefully, for Stoke when the season starts. And daft as it sounds, I know we're only sort of midway, well, not quite midway through June yet, but there is not that long to go before they start playing the friendly matches again and start getting the leagues going, which will probably be end of July, I would imagine, or beginning of August. And on other news on football again at the Premiership level, the managerial roundabout continues to go on. The circle continues, and Tottenham made an official approach to Brentford after over making Thomas Frank their next head coach. Postecoglou, who was the Spurs manager and won a European competition for them only a week before the end of the season, has got the sack, and despite his Europa League success, the Spurs have quickly set their sights on Frank, who's gained admirers for his work over an impressive seven-year period at the West London club at Brentford. And after positive initial talks over the weekend, confidence started to grow on Monday that Frank would be the man to replace Postecoglou, and Tottenham have now entered final discussions with Brentford. So that's something to look forward to. But once again, we start every new season, there's loads of new managers, very often the same names who appear, but it's really is a merry-go-round for the managers. And Postecoglou, of course, I don't feel too sorry for him. He had a four-year contract with Spurs. They've sacked him after 2 years, so he's got another 2 years' pay in his back pocket before he goes off to find another club. And the Premier League managers these days are paid almost as much as the players, and there'll be millions of pounds each year that they pick up. So there we go. And just again on that, back to that England match, on the back page of the Sentinel last night, Tuchel, who's the German manager for England now, admitted that he's very impatient, and he wants to see his side take to his style of football, and confirmed on Monday night that they were going to be changes for last night's friendly. Obviously, the changes that he made didn't result in anything better because they came away with a defeat, as I said. So, just about winding up for me, folks. I'm sorry it's a brief report this week, but it's no excuse, really. But I've been very busy and have to move on to another load of meetings today, so I can't stay too long. But the article in last night's Sentinel, which I thought should bring to your attention, which is sad news, really, because former referee Uriah Rennie has passed away at the young age of 65. And that he's got a strong connection with Neil Nello Baldwin, as those of you will know. And the Sentinel, Peter Smith in the Sentinel, reports to say that Neil Nello Baldwin has paid tribute to the kindness of trailblazing referee and his very good friend Uriah Rennie. Rennie was the first Premier League's black referee, who died at 65, and was always eager to help Baldwin, whose life story I think most of you will know. Going from circus clown to inspirational Stoke City kit man, was made into a BAFTA-winning film called Marvellous in 2015. Goodness, that's 10 years ago. It doesn't seem that long at all. He became the official of choice for Neil Baldwin FC, which was a club that, Nello formed at Keele University back in the 60s, and which has since had honorary presidents, including Gary Lineker, Kevin Keegan, and honorary players, including World Cup winner and former Stoke boss Alan Ball, although Baldwin himself has always been voted as Player of the Year every season. And Peter Smith goes on to say that indeed Rennie made a memorable cameo in Marvellous, which is the film, wearing his full Premier League kit as he strolled over to say hello to Baldwin in front of stunned students, and later awarding a penalty for Baldwin, and then booking the goalkeeper and ordering a retake when he was eventually saved. But Nello said, "I'm very saddened to hear this news because he was a very good friend of mine. We first met when Uriah was on a referee's training course at Keele University, and we remained close friends. He was always very happy to drive long distances from his home in Sheffield to referee games of my football team, which of course was depicted in the film Marvellous, where he appeared in person. We enjoyed many good laughs together, and he was of course a very good referee." So it's commiserations and consolations to his family, and best wishes to Nello. We've not heard too much of him just lately, but I guess like all of us, he's getting a little bit older and a little less public. So that's it really for me, folks. I'm sorry it's a bit quick, but thank you very much for your time. I hope, again, that you stay safe and well. And I look forward to coming back to you with John, hopefully, when he's available to give you some more updates about the pre-season work for the local clubs and a bit of the local cricket as well. So until then, stay safe and stay well. Thank you.